we're going to start off with talking about what's going on to folks trying to hang in there and rent an apartment or a house in Fresno and or, heaven forbid, the Bay Area. We're joined in the studio by some representatives of Tenants Together. Simone Creston Rhodes is in the studio, and we have the Executive Director, Dean Preston, on the phone. Hello, Dean.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Okay, and you are on the air. So, Dean, why don't you start off? You are in the San Francisco office, and kind of just tell us, give us an overview of what Tenants Together is trying to accomplish, and what's this particular moment, what's happening at this particular moment?
Well, it's an extremely difficult time for tenants across the state. The issues may vary place to place, but there's more that unites tenants in their struggle for decent housing and affordable housing than divides tenants. We're a statewide tenant rights organization with offices in San Francisco and in Fresno, and we work on a range of issues, primarily trying to prevent unfair displacement, keep housing affordable for renters, and make sure that tenants are living in safe and habitable homes. In the Bay Area right now, and in the Los Angeles area, there are big, huge surges in rents is the primary issue that tenants are facing is in the Central Valley and other regions of the state. As Simone can tell you more about, one of the big issues is slumlords and uninhabitable living conditions. But tenants are under a lot of enormous amount of pressure right now, and are struggling. And what our organization does is try to unite tenants both within a given building or across a city, across a region, or across the state. And frankly, we're up against real estate interests and landlords that are very well organized at the state level and locally, and we think it's absolutely essential that tenants join together, that there's power in numbers, and that organizing starts in every building, every neighborhood, but also has to be done statewide.
Yeah, and now you're talking about the landlords. I know I've come across information, of course, with the, you know, with the Great Recession and the crisis on Wall Street. We had so many houses, of course, here that were, you know, people lost their houses, they got boarded up, and you know, investor kind of groups came in and bought up a lot of property. How has that affected tenants?
It's had a huge impact on tenants, and we're seeing increasingly out of area investors, often Wall Street investors, some international money flowing in and buying up distressed properties. And that's what's important to understand is that when there's a housing crisis, in a way, it's not really a crisis for the folks who are investing and making money off of buying and selling property. It's an opportunity for them. It's a crisis for the folks living in those homes. So whether they're homeowners who were duped into mortgages and are losing their homes, or tenants who are renting from something that goes into foreclosure, either way, it always seems to be the tenants who are left up who end up holding the bag and in a difficult situation. And so it's harder. It's harder to fight these investor landlords. They are often big corporations. It's hard to figure out who the actual owner of these properties are. They're not connected to the local communities where they own property, and yet they're having a huge impact. And their goal is to make as much money as possible through rents and invest as little in the homes. And it's up to tenants and local governments to hold them accountable and to make sure that they operate as responsible landlords.
Okay. And Simone, you're on the ground here in Fresno, and we've been hearing in the last few months a lot more about this issue with the JD properties and other slumlord issues. Can you kind of fill us in on what has been happening and what's, you know, kind of where we're going to go from where we are now?
Sure. I think that's a great point that you bring up, that you've been hearing a lot more, and I've really noticed over the last year, the issue of housing has started to come to the forefront of people's mind more than it used to be. A lot of people, progressives working on housing, healthcare, immigration, I believe now are starting to see housing as one of those essential issues that needs to be addressed in Fresno. And, you know, one thing that I think we're really exposing in Fresno is that in the past, it's been a very personal issue about your housing, you know, how you feel like you don't want to invite someone into your house if it's not, you know, up to par. So many people have been somewhat shy to come forward on these issues, but we're starting to expose the fact that it's a systematic issue here in Fresno, right? J.D. Holmes being one of those really big ones, and other landlords systematically don't upkeep their homes, and it's not the tenants' faults. And I think kind of changing that conversation has really helped in Fresno, and allowing people to feel more comfortable in coming forward, and building tenant empowerment and informing people of their tenant rights. So I think that has been one of the biggest things that we've really been able to create here in Fresno over the last year or so, is allowing people to understand that it's not their fault their living situation isn't up to par. And on top of, you know, Dean saying that these landlords, they come in, they buy these houses or apartments, and then they don't upkeep them because that makes a lot of money for them. But it's not like people in Fresno aren't paying a lot for their apartments or their homes. According to the National Low Income Coalition in CRLA, they did a research project a few months ago, and they found out that it would cost $1,640 to afford a two-bedroom apartment in Fresno. And we know that the minimum wage is well below that.
You talk about per hour, though.
Hourly
wage, right?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not like we think about, oh, well, the Bay Area has very expensive rents, and compared to the Bay Area, yes, Fresno's housing is cheaper, but it's still not, as I would consider, affordable, mm-hmm. right? And so that's what we've been working on, and where we're going is really trying to hold the city accountable for not holding these landlords accountable, right?
So, yeah, and there was something that came before the city council a month or two ago about some of the code enforcement issues. Could you explain what that was?
Sure. We had phase one, as we're calling it, of our housing and code enforcement city council work, and city council approved 7-0, which is amazing, to start enforcing more regulations on blighted homes. That means unoccupied homes, and upkeeping the exterior of the homes to a higher bar, which we think is great. However, we are starting work on phase two of that work, and we want to see some more, a higher bar set for what is going on in the interior of the home of occupied houses. You know, there already are state laws that have a standard of what habitability is. And unfortunately, many of the homes in Fresno are below that bar right now. And so what we need from city council is we need routine inspections. We need fit to rent, which means that at the time that they're advertising the unit, it needs to be habitable, and better code enforcement. And unfortunately, the city hasn't been, you know, enforcing these things in the way that they should. And we really need to hold the city accountable to get those things done and to make sure that every home in Fresno is habitable.
Okay. And I want to go back to you, Dean. You know, this is something, you know, we've been hearing a lot about what's going on in the Bay Area. We know that we, you know, heard a lot about what's happened in, you know, New York, Manhattan, and the extreme, you know, housing crisis of people not being able to afford to live in those large urban areas. What's the, you know, what would be the solution? Is there any, I don't know, state or federal strategy around these issues?
Well, the first solution is and particularly in the Bay Area cities where the rents are just completely out of control right now. And just to give some sense of what we're seeing, we operate a statewide hotline for tenants to call who have questions about their rights. And
would you like to say what that is?
It's 888-495-8020. 888-495-8020. And we talk with tenants about their rights. And the calls we get from the Bay Area, it is not uncommon now for us to get a call on any given day with people who are facing 50%, 100%, even 200% rent increases. So imagine that you have already an expensive rent living in the Bay Area of, say, $1,500 a month, and now your landlord wants to raise it to $2,500 or $3,000. So no working person can all of a sudden have their rent doubled, and unless they're very wealthy, afford that. So the good news is that any city can adopt a rent control law. And what we're seeing in the Bay Area that's exciting in terms of tenant organizing is there are growing demands in many cities around the Bay Area for the cities to pass rent control laws. If there's no rent control law, a landlord in California can raise the rent as much as they want. If there is a rent control law, then the rent increases are capped. And so 12 cities in California have rent control laws and also regulate evictions. And we're seeing calls for that right now in Richmond, in Contra Costa County, Santa Rosa, as well as in San Mateo County and Santa Clara County as well. So I think as long as the rents keep going up in this way, you'll see more and more cities, certainly in the Bay Area, certainly in the Los Angeles area, maybe elsewhere in the state, adopting local rent control laws. That said, even local rent control laws, there are ways that real estate speculators can get around them, and that's thanks to very effective lobbying by the real estate industry, particularly the Association of Realtors in Sacramento, that have created state impediments to strong rent control. And one for us, long-term, as a statewide tenant rights organization, we intend to challenge those state laws so that cities can, again, have the power that they need to deal with their local situations. And if that is high rents, that means strong rent control is the local solution that has the biggest impact.
All right. Turn back to you, Simone. What's going to be next in terms of folks that are living in Fresno? What kind of assistance can folks in Fresno get from Tenants Together, and what are some of the projects that are coming up?
Well, right now we are focusing on some local laws, and we're hoping for people to get involved with that. You can always find us on Facebook. We have a group called Fresno Tenants Together, and we're hoping that you can get involved there. You could also reach me personally, Simone at tenantstogether.org is my email. Again, that's Simone, S-I-M-O-N-E, at tenantstogether.org. And we would love for you to get involved. We also host monthly legal clinics at the Dickey Youth Center or Chicano Youth Center. It's 1515 Divisadero Avenue. And that's at 5:30 every third Thursday. And that helps people learn about their tenants' rights and helps people, who need legal assistance as well. So we would love for you to get involved with either our local policy making, or if you just want to come out and canvas with us sometime, join our Facebook group at Fresno Tenants Together, or email me.
All right. Okay. And we're speaking with Simone Cranston Rhodes and Dean Preston from Tenants Together. And Dean, can you kind of give us like a little overview of what, on a broader sense, what Tenants Together activities are coming up, and how people can get in touch with, if they want to find out more?
Sure. Well, general information at www.tenantstogether.org. Always have our current campaigns there. One of the things we are obviously doing quite a bit of work around living conditions issues in Fresno, and Simone and our other organizer, Magdalena, are doing great work, and I encourage folks listening to connect with them on our campaigns in Fresno. In the Los Angeles area, in the Bay Area, the focus is on these rent control laws and on preventing displacement. And then we currently have a campaign that wanted to bring to everyone's attention. We learned that the chair of the state or agency called CalHFA, it's the California Housing Finance Agency, the main agency for the state of California responsible for funding and building affordable housing. The chair of their agency is demolishing 17 units of affordable housing and to replace it with luxury condominiums. And we've called for Governor Brown to remove him from office. We think there's no place at an affordable housing agency for someone who demolishes affordable housing for his own personal profit. And so we're calling on the governor to remove Matthew Jacobs from Cal HFA, and we have petition that will send letters to the governor through our website at tenantstogether.org, and we'll be ramping up our campaign until he is removed. We're also working on other state legislative and policy issues and continuing to run our hotline that I mentioned earlier to try to help as many tenants across the state know and assert their rights as we can.
Okay, thank you very much, Dean Preston and Simone Creston-Rhodes, for coming in and phoning in.